We prayed for a lot of people this morning that have needs, and if you'll keep them in your prayers during the week as well. I don't know about you, but I'm just sickened by what's happening in Ukraine. It's a genocide. This isn't a war. There's women and children being gunned down and shot, nurseries and hospitals that are being bombed, and it's such an atrocity. But I believe that God's bigger than all of that. There's always been bullies in this world. And I believe that a church in Caledonia, Wisconsin can make a difference all the way over in Russia and Ukraine. And so I want to pray for an anointing on the word tonight. But let's pray for those people who can't help themselves. They need a Savior. They need a God to show himself strong on their behalf. Jesus, we love you, God. We love what you've done in our lives, but God, there are so many others that don't know you. They need help. They desperately need help tonight, God. God, you defended Israel. It was never their battle. It was yours. But God, would you take up arms for them? Would you protect them? Would you help them? Would you bring this thing to an end? God, be with those that can't be here tonight, those that are sick, those that need a touch from you, God. Stir us up, God, to go beyond our little life, to touch other people as well, God. We're grateful for the presence of your Spirit in this place, the music that you allow us to have. And we'll give you the praise and the glory. Amen. Glory to God. If you'll turn to 2 Timothy 3. Verse number 12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, it's dark. You know, there's a lot of atrocities going on in this world. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. God reassures us, all right, I knew there was going to be bad times, uneasy. It's going to get dark, but remember what you've been taught. You may be seated. I don't know if I've ever had any more confirmation of what I'm about to preach than I did this morning. The message in tongues and interpretation confirmed it, and then Pastor Portman started preaching my message, and I turned to my wife and said, now what? You know, glory to God. But I feel very strongly about this. The title of my message is Daylight Saving Time. It's time to save. It's time to allow the light to flow into other people's lives. And that was established in the very beginning. I was just amazed as I was putting this together how God's first message to man talks about what he needs in the church today. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You know, that's each and every one of us, you know. We're void of anything good. And then the Spirit of God came over us and recreated us, if you will. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were of the first day. And then verse number 14, it says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. God established light in a dark world. He established light in us when we were still dark. I like daylight savings time. I really do. I drove into the parking lot this evening, and all of the lights in the parking lot were on, and it was still light here, and the lights didn't understand. But there is a misconception that we get more light during daylight savings time, and we don't. No, we just get more light at the end of the day than the beginning of the day. That'll preach. There's going to be more light at the end of the day now than at the beginning of the day. So let me try to explain. God gives us this word picture at the very beginning of creation. And I think we read over it and we don't really have a concept of what God is really talking about. He's talking about the church. It said, God saw the light that it was good and divided the light from the darkness. We are the light of the world. In verse number 4, it says, God has us being separated from the darkness. So when we have light, he's saying, okay, we want to separate you from darkness. That's the only way you can survive as light. Verse number 16 says, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. The two lights that rule the earth are the sun and the moon. The moon has no real source of light. It is just a reflection of what the sun is. We really don't have any light of our own. We're just a reflection of what Jesus Christ is in us. It's a shadow and a type of Jesus being the great light in the world, and the church, that's us, are the lesser lights of the night in this dark place. Somehow we have to bring light to this world that is void and without form and is in complete darkness, and we are just reflections of the greater light, our Jesus. Conforming to the image of God, we also are a reflection of who he is. You know, somebody said to me this morning, we were at a place, and somebody walked up to us and said, tell me about the church that you go to. You know, there was a reflection of the greater light, and they recognized that. If you'll turn to John chapter 3, and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because of their evil deeds. Notice that most of the corruption, most of the crime, most of the terrible things that happen in this world are done in darkness. You notice that all of the bombing happens at night in Ukraine, not during the day. Unregenerated men love darkness, and we as light become irritation to a lot of people who like to be in the darkness. You don't even understand, well, why don't you like me? Why am I such an irritant to you? Because I'm light, they're darkness, and now all of a sudden their evil deeds are walking into the light. Proverbs 4 and 18 says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, or the day of resurrection. So more and more, the church is going to be brighter and more light than at the beginning. A lot of us have some form of nightlight in our house, you know, so we don't trip in the middle of the night when we get up. So we don't stumble in the night. Take a look at John, the 11th chapter, verse number 9. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walketh in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. So we have to give light to this world so they don't stumble in the darkness. We are still in the time of the year where there's more darkness than there is light. Come June, you know, we'll be outside at 8:45 and it'll still be light. What a wonderful feeling, you know? And God made the moon to give reflected light in this darkness. The moon is the world's night light, so to speak. So even in the middle of the night, when there's a full moon, we can walk around, and it's almost like day if it's a full moon. And we, too, are the nightlight of the world, if you will. We give light to people so they're not stumbling around. We're giving them truth, you see. Now, God uses this metaphor of comparison of the church and the moon. The moon is in orbit with the earth, yet it is separated by 250,000 miles. How far is the moon from the sun? It's incredible. Attached, so to speak, but not a part of the world. Pulled by the world, but also pulled by the sun. S-O-N. There's a pulling of God. You know, even if you've never come to truth, there's still a pulling of God's Spirit on people, knowing I should be doing something. I should be going to church. The church is in the world, but we're not of the world. Pulled by the world's system, but also pulled by the sun. So we have a pull to the things of this world, but there's a greater pull of God's Spirit, you know, the more light that we have. The rapture will simply be a release of the earth's gravity, and then we will be pulled by the sun to rapture out of this place. Whether you're living for God for 2 weeks or 50 years, there's always going to be this pull of gravity of the world. And we have to shake loose of that. Like Paul said in Romans 7, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Because I know I want to do these things. You heard it this morning, but this flesh won't allow me. That's why it's so important to get into the presence of God as often as you possibly can, because you don't have to fight that battle by yourself. Think about it. The moon always presents the same face, you know? The face of the moon doesn't change based on seasons or circumstances, and the face of the church shouldn't change, as Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we really are a metaphor or a type and shadow of the moon, we should be constant, you see, not changing. Oh, there's a dark side of the moon that the earth never sees, and we don't display what we were before, just what we're reflecting now. There's no sense of talking about what we use, the dark side of our life, if you will. The moon has a great influence on the earth. And church, we should have a great influence on this world. And even the people of this earth, more babies are born under a full moon than any other time. Because the moon has an influence on how many babies are born. Wow. The church should have some influence on how many new spiritual babies are born, you see. Those of you who are awake, this is good preaching. When the church gives the most light to the world, more spiritual babies. See, if we're teaching Bible studies and we're witnessing to people, it's just a natural progression because of our influence in their life. In ancient times, doctors thought that the full moon caused people to act strange. Thus, they were labeled loony or lunatics, derived from the word lunar or moon. Peter said, "For these are not drunken as you suppose." We're somewhat peculiar, yes, because we're reflecting the moon, if you will, and the greatest influence the moon has on the earth. Remember, we are a metaphor of the moon. The moon influences the ocean tide. And every place in the Bible where we're talking about seas or ocean, it really refers to the masses of people. It even has an effect on Lake Michigan. Or great bodies of water, a shadow and type of the masses that we affect. Somehow they rise up because of the influence of the church or the moon. And when the moon passes over the earth, it pulls the water towards her. Glory to God. You just walk by some people and there's an attraction. They're wondering, what is it with you? Causing the water to rise several feet in the dark. That could preach too. Church, whether we understand it or not, we have a great pulling influence on the world that are around us. We just don't realize that all of the types and shadows. And look at this. This is the first thing that is in the Bible talking about us having influences on the dark. That which is void and without form, influences in the dark. Hallelujah. The darker the night, the greater the light. If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's a resurrection chapter, at verse number 41. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. There is a glory of the sun which is beyond our imagination, the glory of Jesus Christ eye hath not seen, ear has not heard. There's a dimension of God that we have never even come close to. It has energy within itself, the center of our solar system, filled with raw power that could never be harnessed. There is so much power in the Lord Jesus Christ that we couldn't even imagine it. There is nothing that is too difficult for Him. From its molten gases surface, there is a spewing of plasma launched into space at the speed of over 5 million miles per hour. That's our God. That's the type and shadow of the power of our God. It is estimated that a single second of the sun's power, if it were harnessed, could surpass all of the energy needed for the world for 100 years. That's the glory of the sun. It's just a glimpse of our God and his power and his glory. And that's the picture God gives us of himself. There is no limitation to him. He is omnipotent, revealed in Revelation 19 and 6, or all-powerful, having no limits. That's the God that we're talking to. That's the God that we have living inside of us. Revelation 19 and 6. It says, "And I heard, as it were, a voice of a great multitude, and a voice of many waters, and a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, all powerful." Now, as it said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 41, the glory of the sun is not the glory of the moon. You know? There's one of God, but then there's a reflection of who God is in the moon or in the face of the church. The moon has no light of itself. The moon's glory is not one of projection, it's one of reflection. People get in trouble when they think that they have the power. No, they're just a reflection of what the power. Nobody has the gift of healing, but through the reflection of God's power, they can have healing. And as the church is a reflection of the Son of God, if we try to project our light, we have nothing but what we get from Jesus. Hallelujah. Try to minister without God in, you know, programs just never work. They entertain, but they don't change people, you see. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 in the New International Version says this, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is that Spirit." Hallelujah. So as we are in the presence of God, there is an energy that comes over us to reflect who God is. And the more we're in the presence of God, the easier it is for us to bring light to people who are sitting in darkness. Some of the people who you think would be the most unlikely person to ever find truth has found truth because there is a reflection of God's power in somebody who came to them. You're looking at one right now. There are certain places in this world that it would be most difficult to start a church. Places like Bangkok and Tijuana and Rio de Janeiro and Las Vegas, because sin abounds in these cities. And you think, well, nothing could ever happen because sin abounds there. But when sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Brother Granquist went to San Francisco, and people said, "You'll never build a church in San Francisco." But he built a church in San Francisco. In Paul's day, it was Corinth. Yet Paul wrote to them that they were a reflection of God's great light to a very dark and cynical world. He had to write two letters to them, you know? You may not know it, but you are this world's nightlight, so they don't stumble. And what we do is we give them a little light at a time. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. If somebody came to me and said, this is what you have to do in order to get saved, I say, no, too much light. I can't handle it right now. We are kind of a rheostat. We just give people a little bit light, and as they absorb, they are acclimated to it, and then we turn up the light and turn up the light until they want to be in the light and come out of that darkness, and they don't want to go back into that darkness any longer. Hallelujah. You may not understand that you're in this position. One of the shortest poems is just three words. It says, purity is obscurity, or purity is no value when convictions are for sale. Purity is obscurity. You see, we can have the light, but we have to have it in the right holder. When children tell the parents what to do, then purity has obscurity, you see. When money is more meaningful than God, I don't have to tell you, it's nighttime in the world, and we could face World War III. It could happen. It doesn't seem like NATO wants to do anything about it. I grieve about that because, you know, you see somebody beating up on somebody on the street and you just walk past it. I don't understand that. But God is bringing this world to a place where we've got to call out to Him. So what's the answer for this darkened world? Not better legislation. Not more enforcement of our present laws that don't seem to work. Not more agreement with those who have differing lifestyles. Not a compromise so we get along with other people. The world needs more light. It's dark, and it's getting darker. The first thing that God did when He created the world was to separate the light from the darkness so the light could have a greater effect on the darkness. If we as individuals are just kind of, spread out into the darkness, we just lose our light somehow. And that is the challenge of the church today. So if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. Verse number 6, for God who commanded the light to shine, commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that's us, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the position that we have. If you'll turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. We shine. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Hallelujah. It's our obligation to be a flashlight for the world. At the beginning, God spake, and light came into the world. Preaching can bring light into the world. It's by the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. But today, God's light shines through each and every one of us to radiate light to this very dark world. And Paul said, as we allow the Spirit of God, the Lord, to work within us, we are becoming more like Jesus, more like the greater light and not the lesser light. So let's take a look at what happens if we don't let our light shine. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. My old pastor used to say all the time, he said, if the gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost. What if somebody didn't come to you? What if somebody didn't give you the knowledge of Christ? Where would you be? What would you be? Would you be alive today? Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. We are letting a light from another world shine through us. We don't have any power of our own, but there is a power. A little girl asked her mother after Sunday school, if God is bigger than us and he is in us, wouldn't he shine through us? There's got to be some light that comes out of us. You see, the gospel doesn't belong to us. It belongs to those who have never heard it. Somehow, we've got to get this light to somebody else. And I know we can get so complacent that, well, I'm coming to church, you know? I'm living the best that I can. But are you the light to somebody else? Hallelujah. And we are the channel, the means for delivery of that gospel. We are the reflection of God's light. We are the burning bush that never is consumed. You know, that people don't come to our church to have just another ordinary service. They come for the pyrotechnics. They come for, they want to see the bush that's burning. They want to see somebody who's excited about God. They want to see some light. I had a visitor some years ago that came. I think it was for Friends Sunday some years ago, and I think it was the choir that was singing, and he told me the next day, I've heard a lot of choirs, but I've never seen a choir worship like your choir worships. See, it's not just about the song. It's not just about the, you know, the instrumentation. It's about let it shine. That's what happened up here tonight. Amen. Most of us have experienced a lunar eclipse, you know? The reason for the eclipse is that the earth passes between the moon and its source of light, the sun. So when the earth gets between the sun and the moon's light goes out. Boy, if I was smarter, I could really preach this. If the world gets between the sun and us, there's an eclipse. There's no more light. And we're useless, folks. Hallelujah. You're reading the scripture and you're praying. So what's the purpose of all of this? Just so we stay saved? Or is to let our light shine? Church, let it not be said that the world got in our way and our light went out. Hallelujah. Oh, there's so much to do today. There's so much to see today. There's so much freedom today. There's so much entertainment today. And all of a sudden, the world gets between us and the sun. And we're no longer a reflection of what God wants us to do. That the cares of life came between us and God, that the world causes us to lose our light. When I was a teenager, my family went to a denominational church. At the end of every service, my pastor would quote this scripture, and I didn't even know where it was. He never even said where it was. I thought it was just his prayer, but when I came into truth, I saw it was actually in the Bible, Numbers 6 and 25. It says, "The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance or his face upon thee and give thee peace." I want the Lord's face to shine upon me. I want to have a greater light to this world. So tonight, let the Lord make his face shine upon each and every one of us. Give us a reflecting power of the power of the Son of God. After all, we are the nightlights of this world. Gotta keep shining, folks. Gotta keep shining. But I've got so many projects going. I've got so many things to do. We gotta keep shining, folks. What if the people who brought us in the church, well, did not have the time? Oh, hallelujah. I was so impressed this morning. Somebody came up to me and said, "Do you remember me?" I said, "You know, you're not supposed to lie in church." So I said, "No." He said, "Well, I was going to church back in Sturtevant." And he said, "I'm so surprised you're still alive." Well, I try. Because the Lord's coming back for those who are alive, and still shining. Amen. You're so nice to listen to me tonight. Glory to God. Would you stand? Hallelujah. So we have these beautiful flyers, Apostolic Faith Church, that's us. Friends Sunday, Sunday, April 3rd. It's going to be so much easier to take an invitation like this and say, "You know what, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but you're my friend." And of all of the people that I could give this card to, I'm giving it to you. Hallelujah. And believe that God will direct him here. Amen. Somebody invited me to a spaghetti dinner on a Saturday night. I'd never been in a Pentecostal church in my life, but it was the beginning of that light. Amen. Could you be the beginning of somebody else's light in this world? Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?